1776.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Don't care what your stripes are, left of left or right of right, somewhere in between or non-political. Share your views with us here on these airwaves. If you want to throw in your two cents, you don't have to be shy about it. I'm going to give out my digits right at the top. Broad, who gives out her digits? 800-259-5791. It's a joke. 800-259-5791. So you got it. Here's the scoop. Blagojevich is once again spared another day where he's not behind bars. Chicago politics are mind-boggling. In fact, if you go to americatonight.net, I did a little blog on it earlier in the day. I was stunned to hear that the jurors might be deadlocked. And this is the curious thing about this. You know, the trial took 2 months. And now, are we going to see that this jury is going to debate this for 2 more months? It's crazy. This is the 11th day of trying to reach a verdict. Since they started deliberations, they've sent a couple of notes to the judge. So there's some confusion on this. There are 24 counts that the former governor has pled not guilty to, and that included charges of trying to sell or trade an appointment for, ding, 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 the president's Senate seat. For a cabinet post or money, a private job, whatever. When I say money, campaign money. If convicted, he would get, and that's all 24 counts, somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 million in fines, a sentence of 415 years in prison. Certainly, because of the federal guidelines, it would be much less than that. But he could be put behind bars for a very, very long time during the trial. In this methodically slow process, the prosecutors really pushed the wiretap, the tapes, where Blago spewed all kinds of profanity, but not only that, but speculated about getting a cabinet job. He was boasting, he has a huge ego, in exchange for the Senate seat. Now, defense attorneys are saying exactly what I just said, that he's a big talker. But he never committed a crime. So are they wrestling with that or the specific charges? With 24 counts, they would be going through each one. So what's happened is these notes that are going back and forth, the latest is they're asking for guidance if they can't reach a unanimous decision on any given count. And they're saying, look, we've made a reasonable attempt and did so without rancor, without screaming and yelling and putting the heat on each other. So I'm curious as to what's going to happen, what the outcome of this is going to be now. With the 11 days going, I'm assuming maybe some of the counts they're going to nail for, maybe the others they're just going to throw it out. So we don't know much about the makeup of this jury. The judge is hardcore. I mean, hardcore guy. Where he's ruling with an iron gavel, which might be good in this case. So do you think Blago sees a lot of jail time? Do you think he slides? Or do you think this whole thing just ends in a mess? Deadlocked on a couple of counts, they could move forward with that and go through the counts. Hung jury is a completely different thing. So they must be stuck on a few of them in trying to figure out what they have to do to come up with a decision on some of them. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. But that's 11 days. Wow. Just insane. So they can't make up their minds in Chicago, but the White House flack has made up his mind. I'm no fan of Robert Gibbs. Listen, he got the president elected. He was a big help to him because he was part of the push behind the brilliant idea to ramp up social media and get the younger people who could vote involved by doing the email blasts. That worked to a T with Obama. So he gets rewarded. He's been with Obama for a while now since that whole election trail, campaign trail thing. He's the White House Flack, I call him, but he's the press secretary. He said on Wednesday that he might have said things differently when he lashed out at liberals because he called them, and this, he didn't win any fans with this one. He called them the professional left and suggested that some of them need to be drug tested. But he said he's not leaving his job over what he said. He's not getting out of there. He stuck to the line that he's been selling, that the president has accomplished or made strides on key goals and promises, even though he's getting hammered from liberals across the land that he hasn't done enough. So Gibbs is blown in the wind with the big faction that pushed for Obama. I mean, this is the bread and butter crowd that they need in 2012. So it was, I think, the Hill newspaper that broke the story. I'm not sure because there were a lot of people that were in the room. And they said that the liberals who likened Obama to the former president, George W. Bush, on a lot of the policies should be drug tested. I mean, that's specifically what he said. And so even one of the Democratic congressmen from Minnesota, Keith Ellison, said, listen, he needs to resign. He needs to resign. So now Gibbs is coming out and saying, oh, you know, how many times I wish I could have taken things back. I regret my choice of words. And, you know, he even actually had a funny moment. But he is pretty glib when he was kind of exiting. And he said, there's no truth to the rumor that I've added an inflatable exit to my office. Get it? The JetBlue thing, the flight attendant who grabbed two beers and slid down that inflatable slide. That was the reference to Stephen Slater. And he cursed out the passengers after he was cursed out by a passenger. And that's pretty much how he left his job. So that's interesting. In the meantime, we move from Gibbs and Blago's trial in Chicago to New York. So we're covering some territory here at the top. Governor Patterson was pushing and pleading and prodding for the Cordoba Initiative Group to move their center to some state-owned property. But what the group is saying is, well, no, this is a Manhattan project. We picked this land specifically, or this building, because it's perfect for us. It's 13 stories. It's going to be 13 stories. We're going to have a gym, an auditorium, a swimming pool, an Islamic center. And yes, we're going to have a mosque, but we want to serve lower Manhattan. So we're not interested in moving this somewhere. Now, there are a lot of suspicions that are starting to creep up of who's going to fund the project, and the developers haven't released where their money's coming from, and you can imagine things that are starting to float. But this all goes back to the same thing. It goes back to the issue of Ground Zero, and because there were so many problems with developing what was going to be put up in place the World Trade Centers to begin with, first a memorial, then a memorial in the big building. And that's also part of the sensitivity problem, because nothing has happened since 9/11. I mean, clearing of land, now it looks like it's moving forward, but what a mess. Harry Rinker is supposed to join us on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Walks further down the street, the green pool went all over. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. Good sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
It's always a pleasure to be joined by this man, Harry Brinker. I affectionately call him the guru of all things collectible, and it's so fun to play on the same team as he is part of GCN, and you can catch his show on Sundays. We'll get to that in a minute. But more importantly, run to your drawers, I mean the kind that you open, and see if you can find your stuff, because he's the guy to ask about whatever it is that you consider valuable, or you're just curious about stuff you collect. Here's the number. We're going to say it a couple of times. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Harry, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I think one more report of a comic book that sold for big money is going to drive me over the wall, though.
Oh, no kidding.
Well, I mean, they had a Heritage, which is down in Dallas, Texas, you know, old home ground for what you got as well as you for a while, that neck of the woods, sold yet another DC, in this case DC 27, The Origins of Batman, for $657,250. Not bad considering the guy paid $1,200 for it in 74. Now, even if he put his money in the bank, he wouldn't be there.
No kidding.
But it's just amazing, really.
No kidding.
Let this stuff down. The interesting thing was that, you know, this comic books today are graded like coins. And this was graded at 7.5 out of 10, right?
Right.
And encapsulated. It brought $657,250. One graded at 8.0. you know, what, which is essentially a half a grade above this, sold for $1,775,000 in February. What a difference a half a grade makes in the comic books. This is what a lot of people don't realize, that, you know, all these astronomical sums are for these higher grade comic books. You get one that's not graded anywhere near that high, and the value just drops off astronomically. Now, not that astronomically if you have those early ones, because they sold a, let's see, what is it, Marvel number one, graded at 5.5. That's the origin of, copy of Batman number one. Yeah, Batman number one from 1940. That's an even different one. But that was graded at 5.5, and that brought 55,000. So you know what? It isn't, some parts of this market are not for people with small incomes anymore. And the thing is, these things aren't even being bought by collectors. They're bought by investors. They're like the Honus Wagner baseball card.
Yeah, that, oh boy,
you,
that really,
you know, you put the
up.
Stuff in the bank, you encapsulate it, you never touch it, you never read it. And this one was bought by someone from out of the country. You know, they never tell you who they are, but the point of the matter is that these people are buying them as investments. It never occurs to them that someday this market's going to collapse. But on the other hand, it's hard to argue with the success of it recently. It's gone nuts. But someday somebody's going to look in the mirror and say, what have I done?
No kidding. I mean, it's great to be on the other end where you're the guy who's had it since the 70s, and then you sell it. Like you said, you couldn't have made that money in the bank.
Makes you
but
one
I
of
don't...
those left for $5.
Yeah.
I mean, for $266,000, you could have gotten a stuffed Trigger, for cripe's sakes. You could have gotten three stuffed. You could have got Trigger stuff, Trigger Junior stuff, Bullet stuffed, probably Dale Evans stuff for less than that.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, speaking of that, I read somewhere, I think I was on a plane recently and I read this, I was dying to ask you this question, and there was a little article about things to collect, and they were saying that stuff from the West was very hot. So is that true? Things
from
the West.
Yeah, well, you have to be careful how you define the West. I mean, the West falls into many different categories. One, the movie West stuff is not doing that well. The old TV Westerns, Hoppy Gene, Roy, The Lone Ranger, that era, that stuff is really hurting, largely because the generation who grew up with it has passed away. On the other hand, stuff associated with the West, Roy Rogers' saddle, when they sold it, went through the roof. Old saddles, old spurs, memorabilia associated with the actual West, the actual cowboy and so forth, is doing very, very, very well. It runs in cycles, hot and cold. Part of the reason for this is very interesting. A lot of the high end of that market used to be sold in New York City. But as it turns out, the auction houses in New York City now need huge sums of money. They have to see 6,000 or more in an object before they'll go to sell it. And they were running Western memorabilia auctions that were doing 1.3 million and stuff, but they weren't getting the big ticket prices for a lot of stuff. And so they closed those divisions. They closed their collectible divisions, they closed their Western divisions, they put them in the hands of specialized houses. Same was true for their baseball memorabilia. The Sotheby's Christie's doesn't sell that stuff anymore. And what happened is these specialized houses, took on these niche markets, particularly Cowan in Western memorabilia, Cowan Auction Company, and they have really created a following, promoted the material, and are, okay, you know, the Heritage comic book sale brings $4.33 million. It's a shame Sotheby's gave it up. But they didn't have the people to promote it, and Heritage did. And the same has happened with Cowan and Western material and other Western auctions. They've just done very well. And also Western paintings have done very well. Now, you have to be real careful. There's kind of a break point. 1960, it sounds recent, but until you do the math and realize it was 50 years ago. All the modern Western stuff, you know, a lot of the limited edition print stuff and whatever isn't doing that well. A lot of the so-called Colt commemorative guns aren't doing that well. Some of them are doing okay. I looked at a Nevada set the other day that cost $360 new, that's selling for the second version with the double cylinders is selling for like $2,500. I mean, that's not a huge gap at $2,500 compared to some of the top end prices in the market these days. But Western firearms are are through the roof. So is Civil War stuff, but a lot of the firearms used in the West are doing very well. So Western stuff is hot. I really think it is, and I'm not sure why. Right now, all of us are just waiting for the big Civil War auctions that are going to start happening next year. You know, next year we start with the 250th anniversary of the Civil War, and then for the next 5 years, it's just, or 4 years anyway, it's going to go nuts.
All right. Well, so I made a mental note of that. I did get a note from Jake in Austin, and this kind of goes along with the same theme. It's interesting. And he's talking about belt buckles. I guess, you know, those big rodeo belt buckles, and some of them have a lot of diamonds.
Now, I want you to do me a favor, Kate. Close your eyes,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to say the following words to you. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Belt buckle. And I'm going to tell you who you're going to see here. You're not talking about some handsome dude on a horse here. Are you, Kate?
No.
No, you're talking about some guy with a beer gut, right?
Right.
Overweight. I don't mean to cast aspersions. There were a lot of people, truckers especially, that invested in those belt buckles in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. The secondary market for those has collapsed. Not collapsed, it just doesn't exist. There are some people that trade them and spend some decent money on them, but for everyone that does well, there's 100 or 200 or 300 that don't. So, I mean, you want to buy them and wear them. The same way where there was a lot of speculation for a while on bolo ties, you know, the
sure,
that type of thing. This is what I'm talking about. You have to be real careful with this contemporary stuff. Most people say, well, contemporary 1988 to the present, and that's probably right, but the stuff from the 60s and 70s and 80s hasn't really established enough of a valid secondary market that we can say that there's at least some price increase over cost. Now, are there belt buckles that will sell for good money? Yep. But most of the belt buckles these guys buy are mass-produced. Now, they don't think so. Oh, limited edition of 100. Trust me, 100 is mass-produced.
Yeah, that's mass-produced, definitely.
It is mass-produced. I just wrote an article for my column, Ricker, on collectibles about going to craft shows. And, you know, one of the big things about arts and craft shows, one of a kind. Yeah, but they create templates, and they create 50 of a kind. And, yes, each one is handmade and all the rest of this, and so there's slight variations. What a crock. You know, one of a kind means there's not another one. Two of a kind means there's more than one. It's as simple as that, actually.
Yeah, no kidding. I can't believe it. We're out of time. We want to tell everyone Harry's going to be back in 2 weeks to find out more about...
Yeah, listen, dig out that stuff and give us a call. I love talking about antiques and collectibles, and we'd love to talk about yours.
Absolutely. Harry, thanks a lot.
Take care,
Appreciate
Kate.
It. All right, and to find out more about Harry Rinker, go to GCNLive.com, GCNLive.com, and you'll see his show, What You Got. It's really good stuff, I'm telling you. On the flip side, what's making news across the country? It's Shaking and Baking. Hang with us.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget... crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN. No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Why? Because ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
This is George Whitehurst Berry. As an avid outdoorsman doing professional photography of some of the most remote regions of the American Southwest, I swear by the Gusset Clothing Company. Diamond Gusset jeans are the jeans I've been looking for years. The unique gusset design, a technological breakthrough, was inspired by the needs of martial arts masters for more freedom of movement in their workouts. Diamond Gusset jeans are the most rugged, durable, flexible, and comfortable on planet Earth. Timeless style and good looks with rugged, superior quality made in USA cotton, superior weaving techniques, more stitches per inch, and higher quality standards go into every jean the Gusset Clothing Company makes before they proudly put on the label Made in USA. Buy American at GussetClothing.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T clothing.com. When you buy Gusset Clothing, put the word crash in the coupon code to receive free shipping.
Thousands of Americans are facing evacuation. If you or any of your loved ones might need to evacuate, you must do it yourselves. Please don't procrastinate until they do it for you. Remember the terrible conditions of those that didn't get out for Katrina. Go right now to efoodsdirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633 for information on the new evacuation pack. It contains 2 weeks of delicious, easy-to-fix food, along with the equipment to prepare it. It's packed in a rugged, heavy-duty tote for transport. Evacuations are looming with the storms and the Gulf oil catastrophe. No matter where you live, wildfires, earthquakes, floods, and storms must be escaped. Don't be like a deer frozen in the headlights of oncoming disaster. At least prepare yourself with this 2-week evacuation pack from eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Stranger than fiction category. We all know the story now about what happened with the JetBlue flight attendant. You know that. He flipped out. Apparently, the woman who pushed him to the brink was really chomping on him. Swore at him. He pretty much almost closed his head in the bin because she was upset when there was a fight about getting the stuff in, you know, getting her stuff in versus somebody else's, and then getting her stuff while the plane was taxiing was another part of the problem. So it's opened up a massive water cooler buzz across the land over, ooh, what's the worst thing you ever did at a job? How did you quit? Did you not give 2-week notice? Did you hurl something at the boss verbally or otherwise? Did you just not show up and disappear? Did you vaporize yourself? And maybe some of us have seen people flip out and leave a gig in a strange way. I've seen it a couple of different times. But the follow-up to the JetBlue thing is this. I love the way the company is handling the fallout. It's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant moment in public relations because somebody told them or they came up with it or whatever. 2 days after the flight attendant grabbed the beer, swore, went down the inflatable slide, what now has happened, the company has a blog, and they posted, sometimes the weird news is about us. And if you look at the blog, something that really stood out to me is the one thing that they wrote in there. It wouldn't be fair for us to point out absurdities in other corners of the industry without acknowledging when it's about us. This week's news falls into that category. Perhaps you heard a little story, this is on their blog, about one of our flight attendants. And then they say, while we can't discuss the details of what is an ongoing investigation, plenty of others have already formed opinions on the matter, like the entire internet. And I think that's a stroke of brilliance. Then they turn around, and this isn't a surprise, they get a voucher, the people that were on the plane. The plane was, this was a plane on the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania route to New York on Monday. So they're all getting some money, basically, to add to the next flight. And that's what they do when they have a disruption or some other weird, abnormal circumstance. And that certainly would be categorized as one of those moments. What happens to the flight attendant? Who knows? More people are hailing him as a hero, even though he did a stupid thing. I mean, he did do a stupid thing. He's had this job for however long, a long time, decades. And that's the end of that. You think he's ever going to get hired as a flight attendant anywhere else? And the answer is no. But for the airline's sake, I mean, they can't help what happened. And it's being investigated, not just by the airline, but the union and some other people are digging into it. So what the aftermath will be, like the FAA, what's going to happen, what kind of criminal charges could he get? The emergency exit thing is probably what he'll really trip up on, because he hit the emergency exit and went down the ramp. They're not just going to give him a slap on the wrist for that. I'd be stunned if they did. I think some people can relate to this next story. This is a true story. You ever stolen anything silly like signs? You know, people steal stop signs or yield signs or street signs. That used to be a big deal. Now, I don't think you really want to get caught doing that, because they'll cuff you for that. It used to be, oh, that's just some silly high school students. Now, it's like the toilet paper thing. If you get caught toilet papering a house, that can be serious business, too. In Austin, Texas, I happened to come across this in my reading. There was a rash of mannequin burglaries. And that's what's happening. Some thief somehow gets in, and in the latest deal, they climbed on the roof, cut a chain, and put a chain down, and they pulled the mannequin up and took off with it. How do they do that? So they climb on the roof, they basically use this chain, hook up the mannequin, and they take off with it. But they've done other things too. And some of the mannequins are expensive. You know, you think it's just some cheap mannequin that the store has. It looks weird. It just has no facial, no facial appearance whatsoever. You know, when they have just kind of like the blind face. But some of the mannequins sell for $2,000. So that's, you know, there's probably some frat house that might be full of mannequins somewhere. But those mannequins would add up, and whether they're breaking the glass or going through the top of the roof, what a crazy stunt. So police reports have been filed, but none of the mannequins that are disappearing have been recovered up to this point. Now that the police are aware that somebody's doing it, and Austin is one of those cool, laid-back college towns of not too many people, I think it would be easy to figure out maybe where they might strike next. Because it's not going to be a mall situation with the lockdown. It's got to be on some of these streets where you have smaller stores, which was the case of the bunch of them that disappeared. But what a crazy prank. It just made me think of, have you done those kind of pranks back in the day? You could, mischief night, you could soap windows or throw eggs at a car or toilet paper at a house or steel signs. I'm sure some of you listening to me, including you, Stu, in Kentucky, have done some of these things for fun. It's just a little prank deal. Now, you need a list with you to see what you can actually do without getting into serious trouble where you end up in juvie, or if you're a little bit older in a worse situation, because the joke days of doing that kind of stuff in a neighborhood are long gone, my friends. They're hoping, BP is anyway, this will be long gone. And we're talking about the whole drilling and the relief well thing. At this point, work has been stalled on the well, and it's because of this storm. It's now been, I think, 90-some hours, more than that, 100-some hours. They're very close to sealing this off, to permanently seal the ruptured well. But they're still going to have to wait till this tropical depression passes over the site. It's just too dangerous, and they can't do it. It won't work. You got heavy rains. You got gusty winds. And even though it's weakening where it's going over the Gulf Coast, it's still too much to take the chance to try and continue to drill and do what they're doing to move forward, because they might as well just wait a couple days since they have the temporary cap on. They're just being very, very cautious. They don't want to have problems with that. If you've got winds at 35 miles an hour and the seas are at maybe 12 feet, then that's not what you want to be doing. You don't want to be drilling for the possibility of a disconnect, and that's, and at this point where they're so close, there's no reason to take that chance. After all, this is the well that gushed, who knows, 2.3 million gallons of oil a day before it was capped off. And environmentalists from the people who make their living off the Gulf to the oilmen themselves know that there's no reason to push the envelope now since it's already done. By the way, this is, I guess, the good news. Well, it is the good news. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration actually reopened 5,144, that's the exact number, square miles of Gulf waters on Tuesday. They say it's safe for commercial and even rec fishermen. So people who are just going out there for fun can go and catch a fish, whatever they're fishing for. And it's the first time they've been able to do this since everything happened. And there's no oil in the area. The Coast Guard observers say that they haven't seen anything. They've been monitoring it for the past month plus, and that the fish that's been caught there, it's been tested by NOAA, that they show no signs, anything that they've gotten of contamination. Because the closed area is over 52,000 miles, and that would basically add up to give or take 22% of the pie of the federal waters in the Gulf. But that's down from almost 40% at the peak of this happening. Nobody was fishing. 40%, pretty high in some waters that normally would be ripe with fish and oysters and shrimp and everything you could possibly want. So as of now, the Gulf is closed to deep water drilling, but it's looking like this will open up soon, that the six-month moratorium will be done, and they won't extend it beyond that point. And this is something we dove into the other night with the experts that they're gathering from the environmental arena to oil and gas people and all the evaluations. At least that they're not going to extend this. They've had a bunch of forums from Florida to Alabama to Mississippi, and I think that's a smart move. Because one of the jobs lost, and because they're saying themselves they're opening the waters to fishing for the most part. So if the water's good, everything's okay, this is sealed up, and they know the other deep water platforms have gone over, have been checked for safety concerns, then I think you have to open it up. Why would you keep it closed down if you're not taking this another step forward and proving that, look, this isn't safe? And that's certainly not what they're saying. So that will be open after November. If you want to throw in your 2 cents about anything and everything we're talking about, you can do that at 800-259-5791. We can count next.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind can provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Weekend count stories, and we're on to the phones, and you. So line up, 800-259-5791. Here's an interesting one for you. Sad story, actually. A former California nurse decided to take matters into her own hands, and she was sentenced to death for killing 12 patients. She died of natural causes. Yeah. It's crazy. It's a twisted tale, and it would take me hours to go through some of it. I'm not going to do that. So quickly, this nurse who got death for 12 patients at two California hospitals in 81 died. She was at San Quentin. She lived to be 72 years old, and Roberta Diaz died in the morning in the hospital. So 12 patients were snuffed out by getting lethal levels of heart medication. And the patients, this is sad, were between the ages of 52, that's pretty young, and 95. So I started to wonder about this. Yeah, people expire in prison. And the prison folks there say 51 condemned inmates have died from natural causes since 1978. And that's when California, as you all know, reinstated capital punishment. How about that? Moving on to a couple of other quick ones, like I said, is this news, the news that comes from Money Matters. And when we're talking about money and we're talking about the U.S. debt, and I believe I talked about this with Saul Alvin, one of our financial guys, and then some other people I've had on, but the Fed is going to buy $18 billion in U.S. debt to spur recovery. Doesn't that seem odd if you think about it? And if we dive into this, the Federal Reserve, which is Mickey Mouse organization anyway, announced that they're doing that, right? It's going to start August 17th, so there's no time to dig underneath and find out more about it. In the initial phase, a total of 9 operations will be conducted. The last one takes place in September. So these details emerge after the Fed announced that they're going to use money from their portfolio of mortgage securities to buy longer-term U.S. Treasury debt to help boost the economy. And they say the reason they're doing it is because the economy's growth has slowed so awfully, so sharply, and unemployment is stuck near double digits. So the $18 billion, because it's billion, not million, the $18 billion worth of government debt is small. And, I mean, it's small comparatively speaking, so it's not expected to really have a big impact on driving down rates on corporate debt and mortgages. I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. In the meantime, another Money Matter fact quickly. The Dow closed 2.5% lower, and this is because of investors. This is the gloom and doom, like some of the stuff I just said there. 265 points is where you get your 2.5. That's significant, but it's a roller coaster ride. And the Treasury's 10-year note fell to its lowest level since March of 2009. Then I see headlines like the dollar hits a 15-year low against the yen because of all the global fears. The dollar is going to be worthless at the rate that we're going. Oof. Mark is listening to us in New York. Hello, Mark.
The dollar is already worthless, my dear.
You don't have to tell me. My father's in the business. I know. He's a coin auctioneer since I was a little girl. And he told me never invest in coins and never, ever count on the dollar. He said, put that money in gold.
Right.
Yeah.
The reason that the Fed is buying the debt is because other, even though it's a small amount, other countries have been telling us, like the Chinese laughing at Timothy Geithner, get lost.
Right.
Look, I'm not trying to, I know being negative sells newspapers and it sounds good on the radio. I'm sitting here playing with my, twirling my hair because I'm pulling it out. I'm in a small investor like you are, but the country the Greek style riots are being pushed off because we're extending unemployment benefits. We're giving housing vouchers, and there's 43 million people on food stamps. They don't know what to do. I think Christina Romer fighting with Lawrence Summers. She said, "I had enough of this. I'm going back to Berkeley. I'll see you later." She really didn't believe that, and about the policy. I don't claim to be some kind of financial wizard. I'm certainly not, but I'm fearing for a number of things. But that's not why I talked to you. Called. 200 million barrels or gallons of oil spilled into the Gulf over 100 days. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's about right, according to the estimates.
You say we can count. So we can count. And now they're trying to tell us that they can't find it. It's dispersed. Where is the media following this story? Does anyone really believe that oil is not still out there? I mean, the Gulf Coast has been devastated. Forgive me, I know I sound like a one-note Johnny here. The president is getting a pass. The administration, for the EPA to just contend that this stuff is gone, is a freaking joke. And then doesn't it seem surprising to you? And I know, I project. Matthew Simmons is found dead of a heart attack in his hot tub. The oil and gas investor up in, was he live up in Boston? It was one of the BP. this guy's dead. I mean, if look, I'm tired of not seeing this stuff on the news. It's just the Gulf Coast is still devastated, and they're telling us that the oil is gone. Mexico and Cuba, I believe, are going to the world court or something. I've heard because they're worried about oil washing up on their sovereign nations. It's not gone. And Matthew Simmons talked about the methane leaks. Mm-hmm. And the other underwater leaks in the Gulf that were caused by this well, and they're saying no, and no one seems to give a damn. It's totally frustrating. It's just unbelievable. And
here's part of the problem too, Mark. You know, the lack of information. Trust me, I've tried as hard as I can push to get anything from BP, and they're only serving up what they want you to know anyway, because they're complicit in it too. But so is the government. I agree with you. Because the response was terrible. Ken Salazar should not be the Secretary of the Interior anymore. And they are getting a pass. You're right.
It leads me to something else. I was listening to a talk show in New York about Obama was criticizing some anti-tax group. I forget the name of it. But he mentioned he said he wanted to know who was funding the group, whether the foreign corporations or banks or oil companies. I'm like, my God, did people realize that BP was the biggest contributor to his campaign?
Yeah.
That they helped write the cap and trade bill? I mean, can you be any more phony? What foreign governments are, I forget the name of the organization that were, you know, plying them with money, I forget the name of it, forgive me. But we don't even know where the foreign money came from his campaign still. Mm-hmm. And God forbid, 6 out of 10 Americans don't believe the man was born here. I know you don't like touching the subject. But he can't even produce a birth certificate. I mean, what foreign country was this guy born in? Two years from now, the next election can't come fast enough, and when he leaves office, can't come fast enough. Him, his wife, and the kids, just get the hell out, because we can't impeach him. Just get out. And come November, America, everybody's got to go. If Republicans think they're going to get in and change anything, they're not going to change. It's got to be fresh faces, independents. And give you a dog catcher, for God's sakes. That's what they're really worried about. They do think if there is a change of the House, if the Republicans don't do, if they gain seats and they don't do what we want, I mean, a nice, quiet revolution. Get rid of all of them and change it again. It's nuts. Thanks, babe.
All right, to what end that Mark just said there, I agree with the change it. We're frustrated on that front. The birther argument is a lose-lose because I believe it's, you know, why am I showing you this thing? You're not going to ever win that argument in the first place. And he's been backed by several people, including a couple of the Republicans in Hawaii. But on to the fact of you can make the change. If you do not like what you're seeing, which we hear resonating from all sides, then you have the vote. And it matters when it comes to all the House seats and the 37 Senate seats. So don't forget that, because you know, we got 80-some days until we head to the polls. You're unhappy? Exercise your right to vote.